Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're so thankful to be able to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. As we mentioned last week, we want to remember the revivals that are going on, of course, at our home church at Clear Branch Baptist Church in Purvis, Mississippi. They got revival this week. Lord willing, Brother Billy Rare being with the church 7 o'clock Monday through Friday this week. And again, I hate that I'm not able to go in here, Brother Billy, but we're in revival, and you know, God's got us a work to do. You know, we understand that, and we desire to do what God wants us to do, and we're looking forward to being with Salem Church this week also. But our home church at Clear Branch is having Monday through Friday revival services, and I know they'd be glad for you to come and visit again, 7 o'clock, October 26th through the 30th. Again, Brother Billy Rare being the evangelist, our pastor, Brother Brad O'Neill. The church is located at 564 Purvis to Brooklyn Road, Purvis, Mississippi, 39475. And then again, this week, Monday through Friday, we're going to be with Little Salem Baptist Church, or Salem Baptist Church, out in the Leaf community that's in between McLean and Bendale off of Highway 57. The address for the church is 5120 Salem Road, McLean, Mississippi, 39456. Brother Morgan Farmer is the pastor there, and we're looking forward to being with him in the church this week and praying for God to bless. And not only these places, but wherever God's ministers would stand. I know there's other revivals going on, and we just would love to hear, wherever it is, souls being saved and God's people drawing close to Him. And so we're certainly praying for that. And we're looking forward to this week in the Lord. And certainly I'll be keeping in contact with my pastor and my home church and hearing how things are going. And I know they'll be praying for me also where we are. And we're looking forward to that. But before we get to the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct by Your Holy Spirit. Father, we need You in every way. Father, it's so easy in the day and time in which we live in for us to look at everyone else. But Father, You've taught us to look at You. You've taught us to look at Christ. You've taught us to look at our own sin and make sure we get the beam out of our own eye that we can see clearly to help others with the beam that's within theirs. And Father, there's so many people that misuse Your word today. There's so many people that don't understand it, take it out of context, add to it, take away from it. Father, we pray that You would help us stay in the center of Your will, that we could accomplish Your will in our lives and be the light in this world that You would have us to be. Father, we ask for all these blessings, and we ask for it all in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to continue in the book of John, chapter 4. We're dealing with Jesus coming to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And of course, Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. Of course, that's Jesus teaching that everybody, God's concerned about everybody, not just the Jews, not just a certain group of people. But that He's concerned with all the world. And He shows that in a small way to this Samaritan woman. And, of course, He tells her about the living water. And He's willing to forgive her sins. And He helps her to see her sins. And again, there's so many lessons. God not being a respecter of persons. God caring about the individual. God willing to save the vilest of sinner. I mean, there's so many lessons that we get out of this of who Christ is. And we need to understand who Christ is. It's so valuable and so important. And we need to have the same characteristic as Christ. We need to have a burden for the wicked, for the lost. We need to be concerned as much about the individual as we are about the group. And we need to be concerned about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, as He has taught this woman, as we ended with last week. Because He says in verse 21, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as we mentioned last week, you can't worship God in spirit unless you're saved. For we are dead in trespasses and sins before we're saved. A dead person has nothing to offer a living God. There's a lot of people saying, well, I put my money in the offering plate and I go to this service and I raise my hands and I, you know, shout and I do all these other things. Listen, you're practicing religion, not worship. You need to understand that. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you can't worship God in spirit. You just can't. We need to understand that fact and that truth. But once we are saved, we're going to understand that worship is a lot different than what a lot of people call worship. There are some people who talk about shaking all over the place and waving our hands in the air and doing all these other things. Well, I'm worshiping. You might just be putting on a show. And I'm not getting into individual people's lives, and I'm not trying to tell you everything. I pray that you understand what I'm trying to get across. But when you start studying worship as a saved person, you understand that true worshiping of God is allowing Him to have His will and way in your daily life. It's how a wife loves her husband. It's how a husband loves his wife. It's how parents raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's how we put off of the flesh and put on of the Spirit. It's not about about this, how we raise our hands or how we sing a certain way or how we carry on in a so-called worship service. It is about how we daily follow God. And we need to understand, if we love the Lord, we will keep His commandments. The greatest way that we worship God is how we daily give our lives unto Him. How we love our neighbors as ourselves. How we put on that mind of Christ. How we are concerned about the lost as He is concerned about them. How we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. How we even forgive our enemies. These are the characteristics of Christ that when we put these on, that's when we're really getting into worshiping God. There's a lot of people that love to talk about worship. They really haven't studied the Bible to know what it is. Is there a way to worship God in song? There is. Is there a way to worship God together in a service? There is. And I'm not trying to take away from those things. But there's a lot of people that like to put on a show at the church house, but they ain't changed nothing at home. They haven't changed a single thing in their heart and their life. And let me tell you, those people aren't worshiping God. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And truth is according to the Word of God. I got people saying, oh, the Spirit led me to do this. And I go, that's contrary to the Word of God. So it can't be the Spirit of God leading you in that. And I won't deny it's the Spirit leading you, but I can guarantee you this, if it contradicts the Word of God, I know for a fact it's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God never, ever contradicts the Word of God. If somebody says, God told me I need to not oppose this sin, I need to stand with these sinners, and I need to uphold their sin, I can tell you right now, God's not in that. Because I know where God is, and He never accepts sin. And He never condones sin for a fact. He's willing to forgive sinners. And He's willing to reconcile the vilest of sinners, and even the saved people, when they have sin in their life, God's ready to forgive them when they repent. We need to understand that. There's a whole lot of people all of a sudden saying, well, I know God's Word says this is a sin, but we're going to say it's okay. When you hear a preacher say that, run as fast as you can. Get away from that. Because that is a false teacher. That is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Run as fast as you can and get away from it. I had a person just this past week asked me a question. They said, listen, our preacher preaches some things, right? But here's some of the things that they're teaching that goes against Scripture. They said there's a lot of good things, and they tried to tell me, oh, he's good and he's good. They started telling me some of the things that he was saying that went against Scripture, and I said, run. That was my only word to him. I just said, run. I said, don't look back. You know, don't stop by, go, don't collect $200, all those other things you can say. Run. Because it wasn't like there was just one little small thing that was wrong. There was a list of things that were wrong that all sent off big alarms. And I was going, this person's not good for your family. This person's not spiritual. It's not like a little fault that we can say, well, everybody's got a fault or a failure. Nobody's perfect. One thing for that, but when you've got the spiritual leader living in immodesty, living in ungodliness, and more concerned with fitting in with the world than fitting in with the Word of God, you run. And you run in a heartbeat. And you don't look back. We need to understand that worshiping God in spirit and in truth is very important. I didn't mean to take all the time with that. I want to continue with this woman. But the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah. And so she knows about the Messiah that's coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, Jesus never said he was the Son of God. Oh, yeah, he did. In multiple places. He never said he was the Christ. Oh, yeah, he did. All these false religions that want to declare that. You know, like you'll have a conversation with a Muslim sometimes. You know, we think Christ is a very good person. We think Christ is a prophet. And I said, okay, but he says he's the Son of God. You believe that? Because if you don't believe that, then we're miles apart. He is the only begotten of the Father. Do you believe he's that? Do you believe he's the Christ, the Savior? It doesn't matter if you tell me he's a good guy. I had an atheist one time say, I believe that Jesus came and I believe he was a good teacher. I just don't believe that he's God. And I said, then you don't believe in him. Somebody telling me that they think Christ is a good person doesn't mean anything. She knew there was a Messiah coming. She knew the Christ was coming. And Jesus said, I am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? Now notice their reaction. And this is important because we're trying to deal with how we're to be like Christ. Their heart and their mind wasn't like Christ yet, was it? It wasn't. They looked at him and said, why is he speaking to her? And trust me, I've probably had times in my life when I've tried to share gospel with people and I see somebody from another church just pass me by and see me talking to somebody and they don't know the conversation. They're probably going, why in the world is Brother Brandon talking to that person? No doubt that's happened. But dear friend, if we have the mind of Christ, we're concerned about lost people. They didn't understand everything yet. But Jesus was concerned about this woman's salvation. And he also knew that if she was saved, she could be an asset, a blessing. What I love about God is that God can change people. I tell you what, this person will never change. That woman's been married 5 times. She's living with some. She'll never change. You ever heard people talk like that? Let me just be more plain about it. I've talked like that. I have those feelings. There's times when I deal with people for years and I've been around them. And sometimes it's people within your own family. And you just say, they'll never change. And I have to rebuke myself. And I have to ask God to forgive me when I think like that. But I tell you, it's human nature. And we've got to overcome that and get Christ and His nature within us. Now, he didn't ask him. But it tells us that the woman left her water pot. Now notice this, she came for water. I want to tell you this, she got it. She got it. She didn't get the water that she came for. That water out of the well. She left that pot laying right there because that water wasn't important anymore. It's not that she wouldn't need to have natural water later on in life. But at that moment in time, she believed in her heart that this is the Christ. She believed it. And once she believed it, notice what she does. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Notice that statement. She saith to the men. Who knows her? The men do. My goodness, she's been married 5 times. She's living with a man that's not her husband. Let's be honest. This is a loose woman. Men know her. They know who she is, but she comes and she's not promoting what she's promoted before. And she's not acting the way she acted before. There's already a difference in this woman. She cometh and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And when she finds out this is the Christ, what does she do? I got to tell others about it. Again, our mind being like the mind of Christ. Christ wanted to pass on. He wanted to tell what His Father had told Him. He wanted to tell the world about salvation. And when He shares it with this woman, and she receives that living water, when she trusts in Christ, believes that He is the Christ, she's no longer concerned about all the other things. And she says, you need to come hear this. You need to come see a man that I believe is the Christ. There's a lot of people that get saved and they say, oh, how wonderful it is to get saved. But then they don't want to tell anybody about it. Let me tell you, that's not the mind of Christ. Christ has passed on to us what the Father gave Him. When we receive from Christ what He has been authorized to give us from the Father, why would we not want to share it with others? He said, go ye into all the world. Carry this gospel. Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Or some people say, you need to keep your religion at home. I tell you what, I'm not serving God if I keep it at home. My religion is vanity. My religion is nothing if I don't share it. That's the reason we come on the airways. That's the reason we share it through sermonaudio.com. That's the reason that we talk to individuals personally. That's the reason we go to the churches and preach it. That's the reason occasionally we go out and we knock on some doors. And we compel them to come and hear the gospel. And we compel them to know the Christ that we know. Because if we're not doing that, we're not doing what God has called us to do. She came and she said, you got to come. You've got to see this man. He's told me all things whatsoever I've done. Is not this the Christ? It says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, in other words, while they're on their way, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. There's times when there's more important things than food, isn't there? Jesus knew what the woman was going to do. And he knew that there was about to be some people that needed the Word of God, the bread of life, that living water. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Notice their mindset. It's not spiritual as it is carnal. Even a lot of times church people have a hard time understanding God because our mindset is set on the things of the world. An election doesn't go our way. Oh, God, are you even here? Something goes wrong in our life. Where are you at, God? And the whole time God says, I'm working things that you don't even understand. And you're focused on the world instead of on me. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Let me ask you this. Who's to continue that work right now on this earth? The church. The local visible group of baptized believers that are following the true doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. But a lot of times we're not careful. We'll get into our little groups and we'll say, we're true, we're true, we're true. But we never go out and carry the gospel. We need to make sure we're doing all the work of God. And we need to make sure that we have the burden that He had. He had burden for the lost. He had a burden to carry the gospel. He had a burden for people to be saved. And let me tell you this, some of the men that are coming to hear the word were just as sinful as the woman He met at the well. And He was going to offer them the free gift of salvation to whosoever would believe. He said, say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I don't think that's changed. I think a lot of times because of sin, and we look at people the same way other people looked at that woman, we say, well, there's no hope for her. We look at people that disagree with us politically, and we say, well, there's no hope for them. We look at people that have done wrong and made mistakes and maybe even presently living in a horrible state of life instead of carrying the gospel to them, we say, well, there's no use. And instead of praying that God deals with them and opens their eyes to the truth, we're instead saying, God, why don't you just bring fire down and destroy them? We need to have the heart of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. He said, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. There's a lot of people that have put in a lot of work to establish the churches and have us in the communities. But I tell you what, a lot of people have done. We got comfortable on the pews. We've got comfortable in our homes. We've got comfortable with who's coming to church. And we've got comfortable with people dying and going to hell. And we need to have the same zeal and burden as the people who came before us, who came and were tar and feathered and had the doors shut in their faces and were thrown in prison and who were beaten and reviled for sharing the gospel and they still preached it. We need to have the same zeal that they do while we're not suffering the same persecution. But a lot of Christians are more afraid of what somebody might say than any other persecution they can face. And we don't have the zeal for lost people that we should have. In other words, we don't have the mind of Christ. He said, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It's important to know who he is, isn't it? Let me ask before we close, do you know who he is? If you're lost, what does it matter what everybody else is doing? What does it matter? If you're on the road to hell and you're without hope, what does it matter what everybody else is doing? What everybody else is saying? Do you know Christ as the Savior? If you don't know him, nothing else really matters. Dear friend, today you need to know that he is the Christ. I'm telling you about him. I can share with you what he's done for me. I can tell you about him saving my soul. But you need to hear him yourself. You need to believe upon him. You need to trust in him while there's time and opportunity. And let me tell you of all surety, let me get this point across to you as best I can. He died as much for you as he did for me. And he loves you as much as he loves me. He's no respecter of persons. You might say, you don't know what I've done. No, but he does. And he's the one that is still offering you salvation. He's the one that's saying, be ye reconciled to God. He's the one saying, I died for you. And if you will see yourself as a sinner, and you will turn by faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation, God will save you for Christ's sake. Today it's offered to you freely. But it's up to you to receive that living water. It's up to you to be filled. It's up to you to accept that free gift. And I encourage you to do it. If you got questions, if you got things that are going through your mind, your heart, whatever it might be, if God can use us to be a help, that's what we're here for. I'll go through the scriptures with you. I'm not going to tell you my own personal opinions. I'll take you to scripture. I'll let God speak to you through his word. I want to be a help and a blessing to you. And if you're saved and you're not living for God, listen, I pray that you'll get on fire for him. I pray that you see the gift of God that's given you and you say, I got to tell this to somebody. Because let me tell you this, it's better than winning Publishers Clearing House. It's better than inheriting $1 million. It's better than getting a brand new car or a brand new house or a brand new job or anything else that you would normally brag about. It is the gift of eternal salvation through Christ. If you have it, why are you not sharing it? Your children need to know. Your spouse needs to know. Your brother and sister needs to know. Your parents need to know. Your friends need to know. Your co-workers need to know. And if you get an opportunity to talk with a stranger, they need to know. What God has given us, we need to share. That's the burden that Christ had to do the will of His Father, to finish His work. We need to do that in our lives too. Again, if you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us. Our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. All one word, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory. And Father, we pray that for the lost they would see the need of your Son, and for those of us that are saved, that we'd see the great need to live for you, to serve you, and to carry your word to a lost and dying world while there's time and opportunity. Father, we ask all these things, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen.